Thank you. Gracious and Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Father, for this time in your presence. I thank you, God, that God, you have allowed us the opportunity to see another day. God, you allowed us to be able to open up our eyes that we may be able to glorify you and to magnify your name. So, Father God, I just thank you. I honor you. I glorify you. I give you praise. I give you glory because of the fact, God, that you have been faithful. You have never lost a case in our lives. You've never lost a battle. And, God, we stand right now before you with humbled hearts and humbled minds, lifting up our hands that we may praise you and we may give you the glory that you do deserve. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you've given us the active use of our limbs. You've given us the active use of our members. And God, I thank you that we're able to just turn that back over to you and just thank you for all that you have done. Father, we have not been lost. We have not been broken. We have not been mistaken. We have not been thrown away or cast aside. You have always provided for our needs according to your riches and also to your glory. And for that, God, we honor and praise you and adore you today. We give you glory and praise and honor. We lift up, Father, this bloodstained banner that you have put over us. And we begin to declare and decree to the world that you are ours and we are yours. Father, you are our Savior. You are our Lord. You are our waymaker. You are our provider. You are our Prince of Peace, our mighty God, our everlasting Savior. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We praise you. Father, I thank you, Father, that even in the midst of everything, coming against us and trying to destroy us, Father, we still can stand and declare and decree your name, that your name goes far beyond anything that could ever take place in this world, that your name is a marvelous name, your name is a powerful name, your name begins to break down shackles and begins to break down strongholds, your name gives hope, your name gives life, your name gives authority right now. And Father God, we call upon that great name of Jesus Christ, that Father God, when we are in our lowest of lows and our worst state, that you meet us where we are and you'll begin to restore us, God, and bring us up out of that muck and the mire and the pit. Father, we thank you for the blood that have been shed on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Father, for your divine work of healing and transformation through the way of salvation. Father, we will never be able to repay you for all things that you have done. So, Father, right now we know a need that resists. That is there. We know, Father, that we have that need. We have the capacity at any given time to walk into our flesh. So, Father, we ask right now, as we begin to come before you this morning, that, Lord God, we lay down our hearts. We lay down our minds. We lay down our soul. We lay down our agenda. We lay down our frustrations, our irritations, our mishangings, our give-ups. We lay down our intention. We lay down, Father, our disappointments. And we ask, God, that you begin to overlook those things and begin to discern and rightfully tear down and destroy anything that is in our heart that is not like you. Father God, we yield our bodies over to you right now. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we give you the ability. We let you be Lord over our lives. We allow you to be the King and the ruler over our hearts. Father, go inside of us and pluck out anything, any hatred, any animosity, Father, that we have harbored over this time. And God, we ask that you remove it, God, so there will be no separation between us and you. That, Lord God, when we need to come into your presence to take care of a situation, that, Lord God, there is no hindrance. There is no stumbling block there. That, Father, we're able to easily access the throne of grace for where which our help comes from. So, Father God, we shall look to the hills which cometh our help. For we know that our help cometh from the Lord. We know that, God, we can look unto you. And, God, you begin to answer every need, every problem, every situation. It is all working out for you according to Romans 8:28. And God, we thank you. God, we thank you, God. We thank you that even in our lack, we are the richest. Even in our downtrodden state, we are the highest. That God, you begin to reverse things according to your pleasure and according to your will. So Father God, we stand in faith covenant agreement right now that no weapon formed against this body of Christ shall prosper. That Father, each and every individual that is listening to the sound of my voice, that Lord God, they are healed, delivered, and set free. I speak it now that, God, that you are moving on their behalf, that you are meeting their needs, God, that anything that is broken shall be restored. Anything that has been contaminated, God, shall be sanctified and brought back to the proper use for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you that souls shall be saved, minds shall be opened, and we shall see the glory of the Lord. We shall see your goodness. We shall see your kindness and your grace in this time. Yes, God, we are not going to die. We are not going to stop. We are not going to be hindered any longer. But Father, the plan of salvation, the plan of blessings, the plan of authority has been moving forward along ever since. And Father, we thank you for that great thing. And we now come against this faith covenant agreement. We stand on the blood of Jesus Christ and speak according to your word that, Father, no weapon, like we said, shall come against us, but we come against every demonic force, every demonic attack, every demon, every struggle, every stronghold, every high thing that lifted itself up. We can destroy it now, and we cast it down, and we command it to go back to the very pits of hell from which it came. For we shall be the kingdom. We shall be the righteousness that stands on this earth. We shall walk in our God-given assignment and authority. And Father God, we shall decree and declare a thing. We shall be the force that caused Satan to back up. We shall be the force that causes the enemy to stand back and take notice that we are the kings and the kings and queens of God. We have the blood saturated upon us. Your grace and your anointing is upon us now, and we can go into those dangerous territories and shift the atmosphere according to your will and give it back unto you, that you may be glorified, that you may be lifted up, that you may be honored, that you may be adored. We command it to be so now by the authority of Jesus Christ, that Father, nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing shall be broken. In Jesus' name. So Father God, take us out to those deep areas where our hearts wouldn't fail. Father, take us to those places, God, where we know that, God, is not in our ability, but is in your ability alone. We thank you that even in that, Father, we're unstoppable, we're unmovable, we're unshakable. Father, we thank you that, God, that nothing shall destroy us. Nothing, God, nothing that is in your will, that is in your purpose, shall be plucked out or destroyed. But God, we thank you right now. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. We open up our mouths and we command that everything bow down to the Lord God Almighty, to Jesus Christ. For you said in your word that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are Lord of this earth, God. Hear Masha, you are Lord of our hearts. You are Lord of our homes, God. You are Lord of our marriages. You are Lord of our businesses. You are Lord of our schooling and teaching. You are Lord of our ministries. You are Lord of our finances. You are Lord of our bodies. You are Lord over our children. You are Lord, God. You are Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord. And God, we want you to get your glory. We want you to get the authority. We want you to gain territory now. We give it over to you. And God, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for those that are being, that feel weak right now, that they are being strengthened right now in this very hour. And God, I praise you. I bless you. I magnify your name. I thank you, Father, for what you're about to do. I thank you, Father, for what you're about to say upon your people. God, use me right now to declare and decree a word that will bring hope, that will bring understanding, that will bring a close relationship with you. Let them be strengthened right now to walk on further, to move further, to move in a greater capacity than we've never been before, to allow us to do things that are supernatural, but to allow us to believe upon things, and they surely come to pass. I speak it over their life right now, that the anointing that is saturated right now in the atmosphere that I'm feeling right now falls heavily upon them right now, and it begins to allow their hands to be itching, allow their hands to be greasy, allow their hands to be oily. And Father, they shall lay hands on the sick, my God, and they shall recover. They shall command the enemy to step back and take notice. And Father, I thank you. I thank you. And I give you glory. I give you praise. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. I thank God for life. I thank God for health. And God, I thank you for strength that, Father, you are giving to your people even now. You're giving it to your people even now. Even now, Father God. Even now, Father God, give us a deeper revelation of what your will is. Give us a deeper revelation of what your understanding is. Give us a deeper revelation of what you desire of us, God. Give us a deeper revelation of who you have called us to be. Give us a deeper revelation, Father, because we know that there's much more than this. There's much more than what we are walking in. There's much more than what we are standing in. There's much more than what we are believing in, Father. Father, expand our territory, expand our mind, that we may see a new side of you today. And Father, I thank you. I glorify you. I give you honor and I give you glory in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes. Come on and we give you praise. 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 We give you praise, Father. We give you praise, God. I thank you. Thank you, Father, that you have been faithful, Father. I thank you that you have been gracious. I thank you that you have been kind. You have been loving, God. You have been gentle, Father. So great is your faithfulness towards us, God, because of the fact we realize and understand, Father, that we are a force. We are a people, Father, that is a hard people to deal with. But Lord God, your loving kindness and your tender mercy towards us, Father, has encouraged us even the more. So Father, I thank you. I'm grateful, Father, for all the things that you have done in my life and in the life of your believers. Yes, God, I praise you right now for their blessings. I thank you for their deliverance. I thank you for their breakthrough. And it shall surely come to pass. It shall surely come to pass by the authority of Jesus Christ. I thank you. So, Father, right now, God, heal the brokenhearted. Bind up the wounds that they have right now, the things that are open and are bleeding and are hurting. Touch you with your mighty hand of healing and heal them right now. Heal their very desires. Heal their very need. That, God, they'll come into a place of peace and restoration and know that you care for them, that you love them, that you are looking forward to seeing them again in that place of worship, in that place of prayer, in that place, God, where that you can meet with them on a personal and one-to-one basis. Father, you've always allowed us to come into your presence and to be able to lay down every problem in every situation that we may have before you. So, Father, I thank you that you keep that channel open. I thank you, Father, that someone can come to you that don't know who you are, or can come to you that has made all kinds of mistakes filled with the wretchedness of sin upon their lives. And you will accept them, Father, clean them up, love upon them, show them that you have value, and show them that they have a place in you, and begin to restore them and completely change their life around, so that they can be the true kings and queens of God to walk into this earth and to do great and marvelous things. So, Father God, I thank you. I'm so grateful for what you're coming up and about to do. I'm so grateful for all the things and the doors that you are opening. I'm grateful, Father, for all the ways that you have made. And, Father, I praise you. I magnify you. I give you glory. And I give you honor. Come on and just give God a little bit of praise right now. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to be glorified. He's worthy to be loved upon. He's worthy to be acknowledged. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things that you have done. I may not understand it and it may not make sense to me, but God, I know that you make sense to me. And I know exactly what you are doing in this season. And your season is that you shall get the glory. And Father, not only shall you get the glory, but you shall protect those that you love. And I'm so glad to be loved by you. I'm so grateful to be loved by you, God. I'm so grateful, so grateful, so grateful to be loved by you. It does something in my heart and my soul to see your love showering us again. And I thank you. I glorify you. Yes, God. Praise your name. Praise your name. Great is thy faithfulness. Great how faithful our God is to us. He has left us with the understanding to know that no matter what we do, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, He shall provide. He shall make need. And I believe that this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, 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 welcome to RTRMI Radio, where I know that you could have been anywhere else, but I'm so glad that you are here right with us, worshiping and praising God alongside of us. I'm hopeful and grateful that you have a great day today. I know that God is smiling upon you. I know that the grace of God has lifted you up, has gotten you out of your bed, has opened up your eyes and allowed the blood to warm fresh and warm in your veins, that you have the ability to lift up them hands and give God praise. So come on and take a few minutes right now. I know you may be at the grocery store. You may be in your home. You may be in right there sitting on your couch with your PJs and your coffee in your hand. Attending church, as they would say, but I just want you to take that moment just to lift up your hands, and no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter even who's around you, just give God a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just give him a praise and acknowledge him today. I believe that God desires to inhabit the praises of his people. And if we want God to show up and show out in our place, in our lives, in our situation, in our circumstances, we have to give him the praise of invitation that invites him into our lives so that he may be able to rest, rule, reign, and abide and move things out of our lives that are not conducive to the plan and the purpose that he has ordained for us. I believe that our times of sorrow, our times of you know, we get to that place of having a pity party, are those times that we lack to give the true attention to the one that deserves it, and that is our Father, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. We give honor to him in all aspects, in all capacity. And so for that morning, I am so grateful today. I'm so grateful to be in the midst. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas. I am the proud servant leader of the greatest ministry on this side of the world, Restoring the Remnant Ministries International, based out of Tampa, Florida. And I want to invite you all out. We are now starting to go back into the house and praise the Lord. We have gotten a new location, and I want you to come join us at 1234 82nd Street in Tampa, Florida, 33619. So if you're in the Tampa area, feel free to come by and just stop on through with us and praise and worship God with us, and that we can be able to just lift the name of Jesus higher and higher. But we are looking forward to that great move on March the 7th. And I invite each and every one of you to come on out. Of course, our COVID-19 restrictions will be administered. Well, we do ask you do bring a mask. We do ask you, you know, practice safe distancing. If you do feel that you are, you know, have the symptoms of COVID-19, we do ask that you do, you know, worship at home. We will have the podcast available that you'll be able to still worship at home in a safe surrounding with us. Amen. Amen. But without further ado, I'm so grateful today. I'm just rambling on. I do want to give a few quick shout outs. Shout out to all the RTRMI and my family that is on here. Shout out to all, you know, the people that are plugging into our broadcast that have just kind of stopped by. It is not by circumstance. It is not by chance that you are here. We know that it was a divine plan and will of God. And we know that God has a word for you today. I do want to say this one thing. I am maybe a little bit pre-early, but I want to give a special birthday shout out to my daughter, Jada. She will be turning 8 this Wednesday. But we have been celebrating it throughout this day. So I just want to let her know that God shines upon her. I wish her a great birthday celebration throughout this whole week, that her life will be blessed with the joys and the power and the wonders of God throughout her life. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this word that I believe that God has for us today. And I believe that God has a something that he desires to bless your heart and to bless your soul with. And I'm just so excited about all the things that God is doing. I'm so excited about all the things and all the ways that he has made. And I'm so excited to begin to see the devastation of things that take place in our world, but to also have this understanding to know that God is still on the throne. He's never lost a case, never lost a battle, but he stands firm in his ability to make sure that all things are in proper order and in proper alignment for his glory. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into a few things. We're going to actually talk into the scripture of Job, and I'm going to introduce this portion right here. Let's go to Job, the first chapter, starting at the 9th verse through the 22nd verse. Job 9, first chapter, 9th verse through the 22nd verse. And it's interesting, I know that we are on a podcast, but in my spirit, I hear the rippling of the pages of the old Bible that many of the saints used to have, you know, as they begin to turn to the scripture and seeing the little programs and obituary notes that they have, that it's been collected into that old Bible fallout. I can see it in the spirit realm. Amen. But Job, first chapter, the 9th through the 12th, 22nd verse, and it reads as this, and it says that then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for not? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another, and he said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there also came another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elders' brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. In the 20th verse, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And I want to, if I can, to stop right now and stop here and to give you the title of the sermon for today, to give you the topic or to give you the name of what we are going to speak on or what the Lord would allow us to speak on today. And if we were to look at the story of Job, it is evident that this title of what we're going to get into should be entitled The Break Before the Breakthrough. The break before the breakthrough. It is not too far off when we look at Job's life and look at the things of Job and begin to understand the character and the caliber of what Job's daily rituals were. That is not too far off from what many may have done or are doing right now. And it's interesting that even in that the things that have occurred during the time of Job are almost parallel to a lot of the things that we are experiencing now. And it's interesting that when all of these different things happen, and it may not be the exact thing that happens as it did with Job, but yet the hit is just as hard or just as bad as it sounds as it was in the scripture. So many times we're going through everything in our lives, and outside of this pandemic or the time frame of us experiencing this pandemic, we all have faced certain things and certain trials and tribulations that has caused us to happen. It seems as though that they happen over and over and over again. And it's interesting that even in Job's the lineage of, or the story of what we're talking about with Job, it was as though that all these things happened all at the same time. But it was like, this happened, you know, this particular thing occurred, then I was alone to tell you, then the next thing happened, and this, you know, this happened and that happened, and it kept coming one after another. And it seemed like as though the messengers were lining up to tell Job bad news, you know, tell Job bad news. And it's almost crazy because you would kind of hope that the messenger got killed as well, so that way the bad news wouldn't come to him, but that would not stop the bad news. But what I'm saying is that we have sometimes experience in our lives where we get a lineage or get a line or get a story of bad news, or a trail, I want to say, of bad news. One thing happened after another. One thing happened after another. One thing happened after another. And most of the times it is when a time that we are kind of emerging to a place where things are okay, merging to a place where things seem to be, you know, working out on our behalf. And all of a sudden seems like things go left, and it's one thing after another and one thing after another. A lot of times, many of us may be experiencing the loss of some type of resource, either be the loss of a job, or loss of a car, or a loss of something that has hit us very hard, or some kind of devastation that has hit us very hard. And at the same time, we're trying to grapple or get a hold of what we're going to do in that particular situation. Another circumstance come where we may have lost a loved one. And you know, it was unexpected. And now we have to kind of not only grieve, but deal with the first incident that has occurred. And then something else may have happened where our daughters or our sons may be caught up in some type of situation or struggle. And so not only are we dealing with that particular situation with our daughters and our loved ones, but we're also grieving the loss of the person that came to seem to be taken out of our lives so quickly. But yet we are still have to figure out what it is that we have to do with the financial situation. And then another thing comes where, you know, we may lose a job or get into an altercation with someone else. And so we have things going from one thing after another. It's like one thing keeps on happening. It never breaks and it never stops. And it's like bad things just start to start a little trail in your life. This is the same thing that I believe that Job had to experience. And you have to go back to the beginning of this story and understand that Job was a just man in all his ways. He was a man after God's own heart. Truly, he did all the things that he was supposed to do. He did all the ritualistic things. He prayed not only to God for the protection of himself and for his immediate family, but he tried to also step in the gap or intercede for his sons and daughters and begin to bring them before the Lord and begin to ask that their lives will be saved and be sanctified and that they will begin to turn from their wicked ways. These were the things that I believe that Job was doing. He was constantly going before God, presenting to God his heart, presenting to God his love, presenting to God his respect and admiration. Whereas God trusted Job to know that God, that no matter what Job would have been placed upon him, praise God, no matter what has been put on Job, that his heart and his mind and his soul would be intact because he has been consistent, consistently praising, consistently serving, consistently worshiping, and giving God his just due in the midst of everything that comes forth. But then the devil comes by as that wicked devil that he always does, tries to seek and destroy and tries to gain territory and gain ground, and he begins to have this meeting with God, and he says, I see your servant. I see what you are. I'm trying to find out who I can devour. And God presents Job to the devil. Y'all know the backstory. I may be kind of taking it out of context a little bit, but y'all understand the story of how Satan was looking for who he could devour. And God said, has you considered my servant Job. Now, I want to step back and regress for a minute because I'm often reminded of these passages of scripture. Matter of fact, these passages of scripture was always a scripture that my father used as a go-to, or was a father that my father would always bring up or would always preach about to encourage the people to understand that a lot of times, no matter how saved you are, no how sanctified you are, you always will have that moment. You always will have that time. You will have that time in your life where it seems like your salvation means nothing. You will have that time in life where it will seem like no matter how hard you pray or how long you live your life for God, trouble is bound to come on your doorstep. And I want to encourage you today is that it's not that we will be protected from any type of trouble or protected from any type of devastation. No, I would be a fool to sit here and tell you that your life, when you turn over to Christ, as what I thought when I was, you know, getting saved, is that when I turn my life over to Christ, that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. We're going to walk through the tulips. We're going to sing praises and we'll understand it better by and by. There'll be no more hardship. There'll be no more lack. Yeah, all that will come, but not while you're trying to live your life right here on this earth. And many of us have experienced this very same thing where we are praying, we are teaching, we are fasting. Some of us may be pastors, some of us may be prophets, some of us may be evangelists or whatever you may have called yourself to be. And you are finding yourself getting to that place where you are about to reach that breaking point in your soul. Let's be real for a moment. There comes a time when after things happen in the manner which they happen sometimes, one thing after another, and as much as you have prayed, as much as you have fasted, as much as you have believed God and you have read your word, it does not stop those things from happening, but it gets you into a place where it gets overwhelming. It gets to a place where it seems like you can't even breathe or catch a breath or catch a thought. I know that I'm speaking to somebody by this, because he would not have given me this sermon in the way that he has given it for me not to just gloss this thing over. But sometimes we get to that place where we are about to lose our minds. We're about to lose it. We're about to lose everything that we have tried to gather together. We're about to lose the very thing that we have tried to keep, and that's to keep our sanity. And things happen to a point where it's just one thing after another, and all of a sudden we find ourselves trying to pull on something that is hard for us to grasp. If we get to that place, if it's just one more thing happened, if one more thing, if you say one more word, if you do one more thing, that's it. It's over. That is the breaking point. That is the breaking point. That is the place where many of us may have found ourselves. That is the place where many of us, let's be real about it. That's the place where you challenge everything that you have prayed, that you've challenged everything of what you believe. That's the place where you look at the word and the word seem to not really say what gave you hope before. It doesn't give you that same type of hope, because the minute that you begin to speak the word of God, it's almost as though the more you speak the word of God, the worse things seem to get. It's almost like that saying that I used to always hear, you know. And there was a saying that was go out there that said that it's always darkest before the dawn, meaning that it's always dark, or it gets dark before a light comes. And the meaning behind that was to tell us, or to try to encourage us, or to give us an understanding, or give us an expression that would be a similarity, so to speak, to say that things always seem to get worse before they get better, right? Always seem to get worse before they get better. And it's crazy, because if you are experiencing this, and just you know shoot up an amen or a hallelujah, because I know I'm not the only one, but many times in our life it seems as though that it gets worse and worse, and there is no opportunity, or there is no hope for better. Let's be real about it. You know, you've experienced situations where you may have had devastation. Like I said before, you've lost a job. You've lost a loved one. Your relationship then broke up. Your finances are depleted. your children started acting up. Then all of a sudden, the doctor tells you, you got a particular circumstance that's happening in your life. Then the next thing you know, the lights get cut off. Then the next thing you know, you can't get the resources that you had before. Then the next thing you know, you get into an altercation with someone that was a good friend of yours, and all of a sudden you find out that they wasn't as true of a friend as they were before. Then the next thing you figure out that the very thing that you were hoping to have or the relationship that you had with a particular person, they're not the person that they need to be. And all of a sudden, everything in your life seems to go down and down and down and down. And then for you to go back to your word, the word of God, if you to go back to the prayer that you've been praying, it's almost like you have to force yourself to try to believe something. And you get to that place that if one more thing happened, if one more thing pop off, I'm losing it. I don't care. I'm going to cuss. I'm going to just let people know what's on my mind. I'm just going to get it off of my chest. That's what it is. It's like a buildup. It's a momentum that comes deeper and deeper and stronger and stronger. And many of us can't control it. But let's be real about this thing. Many of us, sometimes we're not in that particular place where we truly understand everything that's going on. Because in that process, and I know I'm tapping on something, in that process of us dealing with all these circumstances and all these situations, there is something that is challenged in our mind that begins to start to kind of turn and begin to say, okay, God, maybe you did not mean this what you said, or maybe these blessings are not for me, or maybe these different circumstances are not for me. And then that is the place where the enemy, like the enemy was trying to do with Job, is try to get your mind off track and allow you to abort or to destroy everything that God is trying to teach you. So in Job, we find that God gives Satan the go-ahead to go ahead and begin to test Job. And in the ninth verse, we see that this is where the process begins, where the Lord begins to touch Job in areas where all his riches and all his resources get touched and all of his other different things get touched and they get destroyed. And then his very family, his sons and his daughters are destroyed. But it goes a little bit deeper than that. Because if we were to jump over to Job's second chapter, the 6th through the 13th verse, and I'm going to read it so you don't have to really necessarily turn there, but if you do for your own study, I suggest that you do. But just to pulling out this part of it, now we come to a place where now Satan not only has touched his resources or his physical things or his people, he's now touching him. And Job 2:6-13 kind of gives a little bit of glimpse of that. And it says that on the 6th verse, it says that, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Number 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, when Job's three friends heard all of his evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place: Elphaz, Terminite, Bildad, Shuhite, Zophar, and Anathemite. And they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up his eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. I want you to get to this place, because many of us find ourselves in this place. And what I mean is this, is that when we get to that place where now the affliction, not only it may have afflicted the things that surround us, meaning that it might have attacked our finances, it might have attacked the physical aspects of our life, it might have attacked our resources, so to speak, and then it begins to try to attack the family. And we're okay at that time, because it's like, okay, God, I still got the ability and I got the tenacity, I got the wherewithal, I have the strength to keep praying and keep on believing. But when that thing begins to hit you, When that thing began to hit you personally, physically, either by way, and here's the interesting thing about Job, is that he experienced attack not only in his physical body, listen to me carefully, he experienced it in his physical body, where he was, you know, he ended up having boils that were very hard to bear. So to the point that it was like, you know, little you figure they were like big, huge legions or big, huge, hard to describe them, like, you know, hurtful or almost, I want to say like the measles or the mumps, but they're probably bigger and worse than that. But whatever it was, it I'm sure it caused pain. Like if you ever had, you know, chicken pox, but have chicken pox when you're older, it's a little bit more painful when you have them because your whole body aches. But he has these things from the top of his head all the way down to the soles of his feet. So his body is really wrecked with pain. And then now he has his friends, which are technically saying that they're coming to console him and to grieve with him and to, you know, try to help him. But they end up doing more harm than good because they're now, you know, accusing him and saying, well, if you did this, you had to do something to cause this to happen on you. And sometimes what happens is, and I want you to get this, sometimes what happens is we find ourselves in this same place where the people that we knew or thought that were friends, sometimes we try to call upon them and they, you know, try to see if they can help or give us some type of consolation or give us some type of, you know, ease or a burden or a shoulder to cry on. And sometimes it'll be the exact opposite, where they just want to come and see how, you know, bad you're doing. They just want to come and see how they can you know, get a gain for themselves. They want to come and see, you know, how to they can, you know, kind of get into that position to, like, you know, to kind of make you think that, you know, they're more holier than you are, or to make you think that they are more better than you are, that, you know, if you would have did point A, point B, and C, if you was living your life right, these things wouldn't have happened. If you would have not have, you know, sacrificed and went to church and did all these things, this would not have happened. If you would not have put your tithe over here and all these different foolish stuff to try to get you to a place to where you feel sorrowful and feel pitiful about yourself. And many of us have been in that situation, whereas to the point where our friends can, instead of them being friendly, end up irritating us even more and making the whole situation worse. And if I'm speaking on something, please say amen. So Job experiences this devastation, not only personally, but also by his friends, where they begin to accuse him. And now at this particular time, the very trust and the hope that he had, he still didn't cuss God. He may have questioned some things. He may not have understood some things, and he internalized it, where he began to say to himself, I basically wish I was never born. I wish that these things would not have happened. Matter of fact, in Job 3:25-26, you know, it kind of goes to kind of where you see the mindset of where Job is. And Job begins to say, for the things which I greatly feared is now come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. In 26, he says, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. He's identified the fact that he's in a place, he's in a state where it was devastation. He's identified a place where it's not an easy moment. He's identified a place where it's not a likable or a shareable moment. It's a moment where he's in turmoil. It's a moment where he's trying to figure out where it happened, what happened to that place of safety and security that he had when he began to pray, and he began to see the blessings of God from the fruits of the things that he had. He began to maybe question the fact of his birth, question the fact of his identity, question the fact of why did God bring him on this earth. He would have rather, to experience his pain, he would have rather never been born or thought of than it go through the experience or the pain that he's dealing with. And this, my friends, this is my brother, this is my sister, is that place where we can find ourselves. Because this is that place where it's a breaking point. It is that place where everything in your life that you knew to be certain, okay? Everything that you knew to be certain, the abilities that you have, the education that you have, your own strength that you have, your own relationship with people and the camaraderie or the interaction that you had with them. When all those things are challenged and questioned, that sometimes puts you into that place of the breaking point. you know, or many of us may have dealt with relationships that may have been broken, may have dealt with, you know, divorces or all these different things. And it gets you to that place where you challenge the very reason for your existence. If I'm going to experience this pain, why am I living on this life? Why am I living in this world? Why am I going and getting up every day, going to work when it won't do any good? What is the use of all this? What is the use of going to church when I pray and I fast and I ask God to protect? And it seems that every time that I do so, it seems like it's being destroyed and it's beginning to be taken away. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to understand that even though you may experience that breaking point and you may get to that place where it seems as though you've come to the end of everything and that hope that you once had is now been diminished and will not surely come, I want you to understand something. I want you to, first of all, understand that our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And God is not a person. I believe it in my spirit, and I've seen this in my life. God is not a person where he's going to allow certain things to happen to you just because. Hear me clearly. He's not going to allow you to experience all manners of devastation just because. He's not going to allow things to be taken away from you just because he hates you, just because he don't like you, just because you did something bad, just because you're not the person that you thought you were, or whatever the case may be. No, 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 my friend, my sister, you have to understand this very one thing. When God does a thing, he does things intentionally, and sometimes the devastation that we have to experience in our lives, although it's uncomfortable, although it's unbearable, although we don't want it, although it's not likable, maybe we don't even deserve it. But sometimes I got to get this to your heart. I want to get this to your soul. I want you to understand this in your mind. Sometimes the devastation is necessary. Yes, the devastation sometimes is necessary. And here's the reason why. Because you have to understand that we don't know the plan that God has over our lives. And I was speaking on this in the Bible study, is where sometimes we may be sitting there waiting for just one blessing. We may be waiting and petitioning God just to do something in our lives, just to bless us with this one particular thing. And it seemed like that one particular thing that we may have prayed about 10 or 20 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever it may have been, that one thing seems to not come to pass. But then all of a sudden, right before we was about to throw in the towel, God takes that towel and throws it back at you, and he tells you to wipe yourself, wipe your tears, wipe the sweat off your brow, because it's about to take place. And I believe that we are coming up into a time, and I feel it in my spirit, that God's breaking point is about to lead into your breakthrough. It is about to turn that thing around. It is like when that weeping endureth for a night moment, the Lord will lay alabashita, alabashalebo, when hey, shout God, I feel it in the atmosphere. I feel it in my spirit, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy shall come in the morning. It is that very turning point in our lives that is coming to the place where we're going to see a supernatural move of God happening into our life quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I know and I believe that just hang on in there. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't get at ease. Don't get bitter. Don't get frustrated. Don't get irritated, because the devastation that you are experiencing right now is all a part of God's plan. We talk about Romans 8 and 28, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, here's the thing about that. Are you called? Because if you're called, then the very thing that you thought that you were afraid to experience or you didn't want to experience, sometimes God will allow that thing to happen. But I want you to be encouraged for one thing, is that even in the midst of that, even in the midst of all those things and all these different things that you may have lost and all the people that may have walked away from you and all the resources that may have been depleted from your account, I want you to know that you still got God. You still got God managing your life, managing your finances, even though it may seem to be depleted. But don't look at what's happening. Don't look at the devastation. You got to look at the breakthrough that's about to come, because once it gets to the lowest of lows and the ends of ends, that's when God gets his greatest glory. That's when God gets his greater glory. It took for them to kill his son for them to realize his power. Christ had to be crucified by people that did not understand. Even though he came for them, he had to be crucified, put through all manners of circumstances and hell and hindrances, spat on, broken, bruised, talked about, ridiculed, blasphemed, spat on, punched in the face, whipped, manipulated, talked about. It took all of that devastation. And did he break? He wanted to. He came close. Because he asked God before it came forth in the Garden of Gethsemane. And said, Lord, if it be thy will, you can take this cup that I have to bear, this cup I have to drink of. I know that you can do it, but it's kind of hard for me to bear. I'm going to admit it. It's hard for me to bear right now. But Lord, if it is your will, though, then I'll go on. I'll go into this area that your will can be done, that your will can be satisfied, that your will can be manifested. And when he did and gave into that plan, that's when it got to the place where he actually lost his life, but he gained his life. A lot of times God will put us through that point where we have depleted everything and all, where we lose ourselves so that we can find ourselves. But it's not that we find ourselves by way of our own ability, but we find ourselves in him. We find our trust and our hope and our power goes in him. We get to the end of our means in one particular season, and we realize that our in the means that we initially need to be relied upon or that we need to rely on are the means and the power and the authority and the glory of God. It is in him that we move and have our being. It is him that we have all power in our hands. It is him that we have the authority, that we have the wherewithal to do the things that he has predestined for us to do. It is by him and by his grace alone. It is by his mercy. And sometimes God has to put us to that place where we come to the end of our journey. Seems like it. We're at the breaking point. It's like the song, Don't Push Me, because I'm close to the hedge. And I'm trying to not to, you know, not to lose my, you know, I'm trying not to lose it. Trying not to just go and go off on these people. I'm trying to keep myself together so I don't get out of character. And that very point is like you're at that breaking point that if it takes one more thing, you're about to go left. But sometimes God allows you to get to that place because he allows you to see exactly where you are. And not only does I believe that he allows you to see exactly where you are, but he allows you to see that he knows exactly where you are. And when he knows exactly where you are and you have now acknowledged that, you now start in that position like Job did. And, you know, going into the you know, the latter scriptures, you'll get into a position where Job did, where he begins to now see that God has been or had a plan all along. That he understands that, you know, that, okay, I wasn't there when God had, you know, started to create this earth. I wasn't there when he started to do these things and do these different manners of evil. And what we begin to understand is that God begins to allow us to see another side of himself. Because in the midst of all the devastation that we may experience in our life, God still is taking care of the things that really could have wiped us out. God is still managing us. He's still moving on our behalf. He's still moving in our favor. You don't understand that even though we may only see it from one particular dimension, if we were able to see it in a spiritual realm, we would see all the other things that God has said, not so. He told the enemy, not so. He told the enemy, so, okay, yeah, you may try to, you know, try to touch his life and touch his hand, but you can't kill him. You may try to make this seems a little worse, but you will not stop what I have coming for them. You will not stop the blessings that I have. Yeah, you can go ahead and hit that because that's all a part of my plan of blessing to them anyway. because at the end of it all, I know them, but I know them through the, I know them because I created them. I know their heart. I know what they're going to say. And yes, they, even though they may be challenged, they may be wavering a little bit. I know their heart. I know that they're not going to give up. I know that they're not going to give in. I know that they understand that I'm still there. It may not look like it, but they're still trying to find me. I can hear their cries. I see the sincerity in their tears. I understand the moaning that is coming out of their belly. I understand the how hard it was for them to restrain from stepping into their flesh, because they knew that if they have stepped into their flesh, then they would basically mess up the situation of what's about to take place for them in their spirit. I understand. I see them. I'm looking at them. I'm allowing myself to withhold the blessings for right now, because I want that power to be great on them. I want them to have that great reveal, that grand reveal, when they begin to see right at the verge, when everything has been depleted down, that they'll begin to see all of a sudden, boom, it happens. That breakthrough is right there. I want them to see that good and perfect gift. I want them to see the goodness of the Lord that's going to take place in their lives. I want them to understand when they have given up on their sons or given up on their daughters, at that very time that they have given up and they still have placed them in my hands, that I have a plan for their lives, for them to preach the gospel, for them to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. After they have gone through their trial and their devastation, where they'll begin to know me and know me in a greater measure. I see them when they have been abused and used by other people. I see them when they have been ridiculed and talked about and criticized by people that don't know how powerful they are. I see them when no one else sees them. I see them when they can't even see themselves, when they reach the breaking point. And I know that their breakthrough is about to come. There's going to be a time when all of a sudden you will begin to see the hand of God at work over your life. You're going to see God's fingerprint on things that begin to come your way very subtly. You're all of a sudden going to get a glimpse of hope that's going to come. And then you'll know that the fingerprint of God was on it, that God's hands had touched that thing, that God, that people come by and you can tell, you can see the fingerprint. You'll see the heavenly fingerprint on their neck, where God has guided them right where you are and put them right in your circle, put them right in your sphere of influence. You'll see the fingerprint on the paperwork that's going to say that you're approved. You're going to see the fingerprint of God's hand on those keys that they're going to give you when you don't even deserve those keys. You're going to see the fingerprint of God when he looks at your paycheck, and you'll begin to understand and see the figures. They seem to be more than what you expected, but everything seems to be legitimate. It is no mistake. It is nothing that was wrong, nothing that was done maliciously. It was nothing that was done done in error, but it was because it was your time. This was your breakthrough, and you're going to see the fingerprint of God's finger on that breakthrough. When God sends you a soulmate, when God begins to send you the very one that's supposed to be your helpmate, you're going to see the fingerprint of God on it. where God has touched it. He has been preparing them in a secret time, making sure that they were healed, making whole, Rasha, making sure that they were delivered, making sure that they were a worthy person to be connected with you at the appropriate time in your life. You're going to see the fingerprint of God's hand on it. And that is going to be the identification that you're going to know that breakthrough has come and breakthrough is here and breakthrough is continually going to show up in my life. It was at one time when I was about to break, but now I'm breaking through. My God. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Going to see it. I promise you, you're going to see it. You're going to see it soon. That your weeping, that you've been weeping for over and over again, the crying at night and the petitions that you have, they did not go unwanted. They were sent up to the right place. And you're going to get to that place in your life where you're going to see the blessings of God coming down in your life. And I'm going to be honest with you. Not only are you going to see the blessings of God that's going to hit your life, but you're also going to still be dealing with some of the same circumstances and situations that you have been dealing with. But your attitude and your demeanor is going to give you the authority in your mind to know that you have the authority that this right here, this thing right here, you'll start to know that the things that try to break you are the things that are designed to break you through to this next dimension that God has for your life. This next dimension of favor and blessings that he has. I said it something. I said something the Lord had gave me in Bible study, and it came as I was speaking. And I begin to realize that sometimes, like I was saying maybe before, is that sometimes we are praying for God to do or move into one specific thing that we prayed about next year. In other words, we say, Lord, give me a house, right? We'll say, Lord, I'm praying for a house. I'm praying for a house. Lord, I'm praying for a house. And that one thing that we put out there before the Lord is something that he has already agreed upon and says, okay, I'm going to bless you with a house, but I have to, you know, kind of hold back a little bit. And so we begin to start having that desire. We're constantly praising God and believing God for a house. And even though it does not come in the time of, you know, within a year or 2 years, and matter of fact, we may see all different things that make it conducive for a time for us to get a house where we'll see, you know, our neighbors that have a jacked up, more of a jacked up credit than we have. They're just now getting a house. They ain't even got the money, you know, or we're seeing people that have lived all kind of wicked lifestyles. They seem like they're advancing, but it seems like our time and our situation is delayed. And so that allows us to, we get to that place of like questioning, okay, God, what, can it really truly happen for us? And it is almost the ability, or it's almost trying to get you to abort what you put out there in this atmosphere. It's trying to get you to abort what you have petitioned to God and left in his hands. It's trying to get you to waver in that thing, to abort what he's about to do. But if you hang in there and stand strong, I guarantee you things are going to be a blessing. So when we petition for that one blessing, that whole time frame, in that time frame, things begin to happen. And then all of a sudden, not only do we get the very blessing that God has asked us for, or that we ask God for, but he also has other blessings attached to that that slide in there as well. I have seen it over and over and over again. And what I heard the Lord say is that what I'm doing, I have to do it intentionally. I'm not only preparing you for the blessings of originally what you asked for, but I'm also processing some things in you so you can receive all the other blessings that go behind that. Whereas I believe that God will allow us to reign in this blessing atmosphere where things are just come. And because of the fact we know what we need to know because of the process that we had to go through, then we'll begin to understand the reason why God had to delay on certain things, because at the time that we were asking for it, we honestly, spiritually or maybe physically or financially, wasn't ready for what the requirements of what he was about to do. See, when, I believe that when God does things, God do things big. He has another end game in mind that you may not understand. So sometimes you have to just step out on faith and say, okay, God told me to do this, this, and this. It may not make sense. You may not even have it in your bank account. You may not even see how it's going to come. But then all of a sudden, the minute you step out on faith, you may get a little bit of resistance, but that resistance is not denial. It continues you to go to the next step and look for this. And then you get some resistance there. So, okay, I know what God said. Let me go over here. And when you go over here and that very thing that you have said that God has told you to do, you find the trail that he's been leading you to all along. And you begin to see the fingerprint of God. Hey, Shandea, you begin to see God's hand on it, because it was almost as though God had to allow these things to be denied for you to push for the very thing that he wanted you to get from the get-go. And it's crazy, because we think, why didn't God just give us that the first time? Why didn't God just go ahead and give that to us at the beginning? Why we got to go through all these different things? You know why we have to go through those different things? Because sometimes God knows that if I give you this thing right now, you wouldn't even appreciate it. You wouldn't even faith for it. You wouldn't even fight for it. You wouldn't even just believe me for it, that it's going to come to pass. So I got to withhold that thing from you a little bit, just so that you can go around thinking that you're not going to get it, go around thinking that it's not going to happen. And then you begin to settle yourself and begin to say to yourself that, okay, God, if it's for me to have it, you're going to come to pass. You begin to build a faith and begin to build a trust in me that's what I need for this next season of your life. Because if I overtake you with blessings right now, you're not going to appreciate it. You're just going to think it's your will and your power that you hit that lucky patch. But no. I have blessings for you that is going to come continuously, where you'll reign in blessings. And he'll allow those blessings to kind of flood in at one aspect or another. And not only is it blessings for you, but it's also blessings for your children. And I'm not just talking about blessings. I'm talking about everything that God has in store for us to get to that place that will allow us to see the life that he has already ordained for us to live. If I look back on my life, I see the fingerprint of God in every situation. So now I begin to thank God because of those situations and circumstances that I've had in my life. I can now truly say that God has really made a way for me. He has truly had his hand upon my life. He has shown, my God, I just want to thank him for that. I thank God for all the things. I thank God for the devastation. I thank God for the places where I may have been, sorrowful or been repentful. I thank God for those places where I didn't understand the rejection that was coming my way. I thank God for when they talked about me. I thank God when they said that I would not be nothing. I thank God when they began to say that this would not last. I thank God when they said, ridicule me and criticize me of doing things that I didn't do. I thank God for it, because I begin to see the fingerprint. Hey, Shoka, even in the devastation, I see God's fingerprint on it. And because I know that he will never let anything happen to us without his hand involved in it. He will not let his hand to be moved. We can't pluck him. Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. Nothing can pluck us out of the love that he has for us. And when you begin to realize how committed God is to us, when we begin to realize that even when we don't acknowledge him, when we don't read our word, we don't even say thank you, we don't say hallelujah, he is still committed to us. He's still making sure that everything is provided for you. He's still making sure that you are protected. He's still making sure that these blessings and these provisions that he has is still coming on to you, because he loves you. He loves you with a love that goes far beyond you can ever love anybody else. His love is intentional and it's universal. It reaches farther than we can ever expand. We can't even measure his love toward us. It's even so that even confess him as our Savior, he still loved us. When we didn't turn our back to him, turn our hearts to him, he still loved us. Many of us cursed him. He still loved us. It allowed us the opportunity to get it right. So what we find in Job, if you read on in the 42nd chapter, and I'm, you know, we're not going to hit the scriptures. You can go back and take a look at that. And I encourage you to do so. Well, you can look back on Job, the 42nd chapter, which I believe is the last chapter in the verse. And it's probably, you'll see a glimpse of it before. I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read a little bit of it. Well, actually, all of it, actually. And we're going to close. But here's the breakthrough. In the breakthrough aspect is where we realize and we identify that everything that we had before has been multiplied in what we have now. That's how you identify the breakthrough. When the very things that you couldn't get one of, God gives you multiple streams of. So in Job 42nd, it says, and Job begins to, after having the conversation with God, and God begins to show him, you know, how his, what he has been doing all of along. And it was before the foundation of the earth, before Job was even a thought in his mother's, you know, eye, or was even in his mother's womb, was even created. God already had a purpose and a plan. He's already been preparing for this moment. God has already prepared for your moment of breakthrough. It's already done. So 42nd, it says that then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from me. In the third verse, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I know not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee. I underline 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord has spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Nemathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he hath 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kezia, and the name of the third Kerenhappuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. I want you to understand something. I want you to understand something very important in these scriptures of what he's speaking, is that those same people that was criticizing you and that were truly friends, you don't have to worry about it. Matter of fact, I encourage you, as I'm about to close, you got to make sure that you are standing where God requires you to stand. You have to make sure that you're standing in the place of integrity, and also make sure you have that you're standing in a place where you don't hold any bitterness or grudges. Because here's the thing. When God begins to see your demeanor in the face of adversity, in that place when you're just about to break, that place you're just about to come through your breakthrough, when he see how you handle those things, even though you may be justified to go off, I'm being real, you may be justified to just cuss them the, and you don't. You settle yourself and you ask God, say, God, I repent. Take this. You kind of do that self-examination. When you're close to that place and you withhold yourself and try to keep yourself in right standing, that unlocks or will be one of the things that helps unlock your blessing. Because now you have the people that you want to say something quick to them and snatch them, but you set back and God begins to deal with them. Because God, if they're truly in tune with God, God will begin to convict their hearts and their minds, and they will make sure that they make it right with you. You don't have to go run after them. God will make sure that they make it right with you. If not, it's going to hurt them. So here's what we find in this, the 42nd chapter, is where Job's friends were convicted by God and had to get it right, where they had to get the blessings of Job in order for them to even receive any of their blessings. And he tells them to bless him, in other words, he tells his friends to bless Job, because you originally put him in a position where you were actually trying to curse him. So I'm going to do one better. I'm going to now allow you to bless him. This is the true concept of how your enemies are going to lay down the blessings to you. The people that, and here's the thing, you can't be enemies with them. They have to be enemies with you. I'm going to say that again. This may not be biblical, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. You cannot, in other words, they cannot be your enemies. They have to be, you have to be their enemy. I'm going to say that again because I want to be clear on that. In other words, and I'll say it for myself, and this is one thing that I've learned in my life, in spite of everything that I went through in life, and my devastation may not have been as much as many other people's devastation, but this is one thing that I've learned. And I say this a lot of times to people when they ask me who I am or what caliber of myself. This one thing that I'm proud to say is that I'm a friend to all and an enemy to none. Meaning I'm not going around trying to make enemies people. I'm not trying to be at odds with nobody. I'm not trying to be at odds or to be evil or to be, have some type of constant dramatical plot going on with anyone that I know or come in contact with. I'd rather have that place where I can, when my interaction with them, if I come in contact with them in any type of capacity, here's my goal. When I come in contact with somebody in any type of capacity, okay, I want to make sure that that brief interaction that I have is an interaction where it is always a positive and a God glorifying interaction. I hope that it's where they see the glory of Christ or the love of Christ through me in my one interaction. If I say hello or just my demeanor or how I act. So I'm not going around this world making enemies. Okay. Now I'm saying this too. I'm not being a people pleaser either. Okay. I'm not pleasing people, but I'm learning not to be or to make enemies with people. And you understand what I'm talking about, because there are certain things in your life, that you just wouldn't say or wouldn't do, what you know would cause them to be, at odds with you or cause some type of offense. But you restrain from that. You speak your mind and speak your truth, but then you also open up yourself that they may be able to understand the truth that you're speaking, or to have a conversation so that we can, hey, let me get your understanding and you get my understanding. And at the end of the day, if we can't come to some type of, same agreement, then it's okay. I still love you and respect you, and we go on about our way. And cool. And I'll do anything for you like I'll do anything for anybody else. So I've learned to not make enemies with people, okay? That's one thing. So that's what God is telling Job. He basically, Job has decided that, okay, yeah, I know I don't agree with all what y'all saying, but okay, hey, whatever. You know, I'm not finna get crunchy. I'm not finna get upset. You know, I'm not finna, you know, okay, it is what it is. And he goes on about his life. So those friends are convicted by God, whereas they're now, they have made themselves or possibly may have just kind of looked at Job in some type of way where they're like, man, you know, whatever. But that's the thing. They may not have necessarily made themselves enemies to him, but they have caused themselves to possibly be an offense by what they said to him. And Job, even though it may have hurt, he says, well, I know my truth. I know what's going on. I know that blah, 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 blah. You're reading the scriptures. And he walks away from that. Okay. So here's interesting where even those times where it's maybe a little bit more radical than what we're seeing here, God has a way, and I've seen that. God has a way of bringing things where if you stand in truth and stand in the word of God, he'll bring those ones that had an offense with you, he'll bring them right back to you and they'll come and they'll apologize. They'll apologize to you and they'll say, you know what? You might not have had an offense to me. And I see how you handled everything. I see how you was gracious. I see how you was kind. And I realized that I should not have did this, 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 and this. And they'll come and they'll begin to just lay down their hearts towards you for reconciliation, right? And at that time, you have to make sure that your heart is in the place to be quick to forgive. Matter of fact, you got to do it beforehand. And you begin to open up and relieve them of that burden. So that the blessings, and here's where the blessings come. Really, the blessing comes from the renewed reconciled friendship. But God had more where they had to give them 7 bullocks and 7 rams. I think each. So he had more than what he had, but they came and gave that to him. And when Job blessed them, he prayed for them. That's why you have to be in the right span of heart. When Job began to pray for them or pray over them, okay, he actually opened up more blessings for himself. Where the Bible says that when Job prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before, right? So that's the part of the breakthrough, is that sometimes that rough part is that we have to go through, gets our hearts in a condition and gets our heart in the right place where we're able to operate the way that we need to operate, where we operate in things without any type of offense. And as we operate without any type of offense, God takes note of that and he begins to reward and bless us with more. And as it goes down further, that Job's life was blessed more than it was before. In other words, his latter life was more than it was before. His life that he had before, even though it may have been good, but even though after this transition of this thing that happened, his latter life is much better. And Job begins to understand and realize and appreciate God in a deeper way. And that's one thing that I took out of this sermon or this scripture, is that it wasn't the more so the physical things that Job had gained, the inheritance of the money and the riches. But the relationship that he now has with God is an awesome thing. And that, my friends, is what I believe that God is desiring to do, is allowing you to see that he's the God of your everything. He's a God of, you know, there's so many different names of God: Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, El Shaddai, many different ones that, you know, that I can't remember off the top of my head. But in spite of not knowing the specific names, just realizing the fact that he is the God of our everything. He is the God of everything. He's the God of miracles, signs, and wonders. He's the God of everything. And when we understand that and acknowledge him for that, he begins to open up those doors of who he is to us, and we can appreciate him even the more. And so today I want you to know that don't worry about what you're going through right now. It is only allowing that breakthrough to come forth in your life. It's only allowing God's plan of purpose to be manifested in you in a greater measure. It is only allowing what God has ordained from the beginning of the end of time to take place in your life now. And it's okay. We all have that moment where we're about to break. But I don't want you to get stuck there. You have to know that that place of breaking is also that same place where that breakthrough is about to come. And I want to talk to you, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not figured out the nuance of that particular type of relationship, well, then maybe this is the things that God is doing right now to allow you to see Him in a different way. So my friend, my sister, my brother, I ask and I beg you to get to know Him. It's very easy. If you want to know Christ as your personal Savior, all you have to do is say these words with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I know that you are the Son of the living God, and you died on the cross that my sins can be forgiven. So please forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that it will lead me to grow and be more like Christ. And today, I come against every generational curse, every struggle and stronghold that the enemy has used to try to destroy me. And I come in faith, come in agreement right now that the plan of the enemy has been destroyed. From my life, my children's life, going back from generation to generation, I break every generational curse, every generational cycle, in Jesus' name. If you have said that prayer and you have been accepted in the body of Christ, Christ loves you, and it says that all of heaven rejoice at the ones that have decided to be saved. And I'm happy for you. I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. And right now, I encourage you to find a church home in your local area where Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church that's teaching the love of Jesus Christ. If you don't have that there in your local area or something that you feel comfortable with, you're more than welcome to join our great ministry. Just touch us, reach out to us on rtrmi.org. My name is Pastor Douglas, and we'll be more than happy to welcome you to the family. Matter of fact, being that you've been on this podcast for more than 4 or 5 minutes, you're already considered family. But I thank God for you. And today, I pray that you have been lifted up. I pray that everything that has been broken over your life has been destroyed. Because today you have been healed. You have been delivered. You have been restored. You always was about to break, but breakthrough is on your way. It's coming forth to you right now in Jesus' name. This is Pastor B. God bless you. Good day.